Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cisco Analyst Relations Speaker Series conference call. My name is Lisa, and I will be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will conduct a question-and-answer session toward the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please key star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Amy Poon. Please proceed.
Greetings, everyone. This is Amy Poon in the Analyst Relations Department, and I would like to welcome you to our AR Speaker Series on Cisco's Telepresence, Update and ROI. In today's teleconference, we will discuss the accomplishments Cisco has achieved nearly 1 year after the launch of Telepresence. We will share valuable enhancements that have been made since Cisco Telepresence launched in 2006, and how Cisco has been utilizing telepresence globally to improve productivity and transform how business is being done. After the presentation, we will have a question and answer period. The operator will poll the participants on the phone lines for any questions you may have. We'll also use this time to address questions we have received in advance of the call. Please note that we will be sending out a survey to all participants on the call, and I wish to thank you in advance in providing your candid feedback. Today's presenters are Erica Schroeder and Ramid Mazid. Erica runs marketing for Cisco Telepresence and Digital Media Systems, two of Cisco's emerging video technologies. In this role, she is responsible for helping customers understand the value of Cisco's broadcast and two-way video technologies and products in both growing the business and driving greater productivity in the enterprise. Rumi is responsible for driving Cisco on Cisco strategy, business value, global best practices, communications, deployment and adoption of emerging technologies at Cisco. Rumi has over 20 years of experience in managing and implementing global IT solutions that help improve business efficiencies and productivities. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Erica.
Thank you, and thanks for the time today, everyone. I'm very pleased to be here to provide an update on Cisco Telepresence. In my section of this meeting, I will be covering a short update on the Telepresence products for those who aren't as familiar with our offerings, and then mainly delve into the momentum we're seeing in the market and some of the reasons why. And then I'll hand it over to Rami, who's the mastermind behind our Cisco on Cisco rollout, and he will share some in-depth information about the Cisco deployment of Telepresence and some information on how it's changing the way Cisco does business. So just to quickly set some context, as many of you know, Telepresence is one of our emerging technologies. It's one of four. Amy mentioned the digital media system is one of the other. The other two are products called IPICS and then the physical security products. And as most of you know, being an emerging technology at Cisco means that we believe the technology has the potential to be a billion-dollar business in the next 5 to 7 years. And it's not surprising that many of these technologies are related to video. Video is definitely a hot area for us, not just for Cisco, but for our customers. And the reason it's so interesting right now is there's an increasing emphasis on collaboration and communications among large enterprise customers. One slide that we use to describe Cisco's telepresence vision is the slide you see, slide three, which has the Cisco tagline about changing the way we work, live, play, and learn. And this is definitely the strategy that Cisco pursues for telepresence as well. Already, I think we have a number of very good examples within Cisco driving some of these points home. Many of you may have heard of Virtual Margaret, who is Martin DeBeer's admin, who sits right outside his office in Building 19 in San Jose, although she physically lives in Texas. She gained a little bit of notoriety recently because she was on Good Morning America on a segment about changing the way we work. But for her, I think it was more an issue of changing the way she lives, because she's got quite a nice lifestyle in Cisco, living in Texas. And I think we're starting to hear countless stories internally about Cisco executives who are changing the way they work so that they can stay home and spend more quality time with their families. John Chambers, I think, very nicely articulates the value of telepresence for him as he does his job. He talks now, if you hear him speak lately, he talks now about his typical day where he wakes up and he does calls early in the morning in Bangalore, and then he moves across Asia and across the U.S. and winds up doing meetings with folks in Europe. He essentially does a lap around the globe almost every day now without leaving his office, which is allowing him to have more connections both internally and externally, and more intimacy with customers and partners. On the learning side, this is an area we're just starting to explore using the existing telepresence products. Internally at Cisco, we're starting to use MultiPoint to be able to do training sessions really anywhere, but to allow all the participants to feel as if they were in the same room. And this is a bit of a different model than I think most people are used to, because we're more accustomed to going to a single site and having off-site trainings for 2 or 3 days. Whereas by using telepresence, we've really changed the dynamic of the way people think about learning as more of a thing that they can integrate into their working lives. And we're starting to see, I think, more and more applications of that internally. And I've heard stories from customers as well about how they're thinking about doing that. I will have to say that Liz is probably the area that we're going to tackle last, although we are starting to see some people talk about deployments of telepresence in some fun environments. You can see the virtual box seat application there, or telepresence at home. Just stay tuned on that front. Just to remind people quickly of what we have already introduced in the market, about a year ago, we announced the initial Cisco telepresence endpoints and started shipping those at the beginning of December. We introduced 2 endpoints, the Cisco Telepresence System 3000, or CTS 3000, and the CTS 1000. The CTS 3000 is a purpose-built freestanding unit that goes into a standard conference room, typically with a few modifications to the conference room. And each unit provides 6 seats around the physical table in that room, but up to 12 seats on the other side. You can also use MultiPoint to expand this out to 32 segments. And you can think of each screen as a segment. The whole unit ships as a single unit with the equipment, lighting, tables, and everything but the chairs. The CTS 1000 is much more of a general purpose type of deployment, so you could use it in a multifunction room. At Cisco, we use them in executive offices or in smaller conference rooms. And it usually typically will include 4 seats at the virtual table, 2 on either side. And this is for a small conference room environment or for things like one-on-ones or customer meetings. It's important to note that some of the differentiators about Cisco telepresence products are around some of the technologies used. We use 1080p resolution, 65-inch displays, spatial audio, and a whole set of optimized environmentals to create that illusion that you are sitting in the room with remote participants. When we introduced the products last fall, we introduced those endpoints, but that's certainly not the whole story. We introduced a suite of software, middleware, management software, and a set of services for the whole platform. And of course, we also take advantage of the underlying network and unified communication capabilities of the platforms for delivery. The multipoint capabilities were introduced in March. So you can see with this full suite of end products that address different types of meeting applications and a multipoint capability that is unique to telepresence, and a full set of comprehensive install and operate services, that's what's enabling us to deliver that true telepresence experience. On slide 6, this is a slightly different way of thinking about this, and we've got now about a year of working with customers to deploy telepresence under our belt, and I wanted to share with you a little bit about how customers think about buying telepresence, or correspondingly how Cisco goes to market with telepresence. Frankly, the first thing that customers think about, they don't think about just an endpoint offer, but they think about a whole service and a whole solution. And we see great interest from companies who want to work with a provider who offers a whole host of different service plans. Some customers want a fully managed service. Some companies want to buy the equipment and install it. And Cisco offers a broad range of services, both for the assessment and install of the telepresence equipment to get the network up and running, and also what we call day two services, or ongoing management and monitoring, both, and it can range anywhere from the network to managing the endpoints themselves. I talked a little bit about the product, the endpoints. Of course, we've introduced two endpoints, but I would expect you would see that we would broaden that category of endpoints with additional features and different form factors and so on over time. Of course, the environmentals of those products are an important deciding criteria for people. That this is one of the things that distinguish telepresence from traditional video conferencing, is what we've done to engineer an experience so that you truly feel like you're sitting across the room with people. That is a big differentiator for our users. Also, the fact that telepresence leverages the unified communications capabilities that Cisco already provides, taking advantage of the call control capabilities and that architecture. And this allows you not only to get a certain amount of ROI if you're an existing UC customer, but then also to do cool things like integrate voice calls and telepresence calls with the assurance that the security maintained across that call is consistent, whether it's telepresence or a regular phone call. And of course, the network is key for Cisco. Telepresence takes advantage of and has adopted all the networking standards into the endpoint to maintain security, latency, jitter, et cetera. And since it's built on that same architecture, what it allows from a networking standpoint is for you to be able to get a view all the way across the network from endpoint to endpoint and monitor everything in between. So given that context then, what I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about is the momentum we've already seen in the market since announcing the product a year ago. Slide 7 lists some of sort of our highlights, I guess I would say, in a summary fashion. The picture on the left I took in Times Square, the telepresence ad was featured on the NASDAQ board there the second week of August, which was right around our sales meeting. And the point I make there is simply to say that not only was it cool to see telepresence in Times Square, but that we are starting to see broad awareness and starting to see widespread adoption of telepresence among enterprise customers. So we announced on our year-end earnings call in mid-August that we now have over 50 customers, which is pretty impressive progress in 8 months. We've won multiple awards for technology innovation, and we're having some very nice traction. And I'll talk about some of those enterprise stories in a minute. One thing I'd like to spend a little bit of time on is to talk about what some of those drivers are. So this is slide 8, what's driving the momentum. It started at the Cisco CIO Summit last week, which is a gathering of some of the top CIO among Cisco customers. And the theme of the get-together was around collaboration, and this is something that CIOs in general are really wrestling with right now. And, you know, there's all sorts of things in the popular literature about the world is flat, the speed of business is picking up, and so on. And so one of the big concerns for many of these CIOs is thinking about how to build better collaboration within their organizations. And that includes a whole host of things, not just telepresence, of course. But in that context, what we find is that customers are adopting telepresence because it is actually helping them drive the business. It's actually helping them grow the top line. And I think this is a little bit different sense and understanding of where the market is compared to where we were a year ago. Whereas when telepresence was first introduced, a lot of what we heard was it helps people cut travel. And Rami will tell you we have some very good statistics within Cisco about how telepresence is actually helping people cut travel. But frankly, many of our customers are looking at that as a nice side benefit, not the primary reason why they're buying it. We have one very large customer who's deploying quite a number of telepresence units who said he bought telepresence to help him get products out the door faster, which is giving him competitive advantage and incremental revenue in the market. But he's paying for it because his people are traveling less. and we hear that over and over again. So you can see some of the other items here. I'll walk through some customer examples in a minute to help drive home what we mean by these points. But this list of six things is really kind of a top line list of the things that we've heard over and over and over again from customers to this point. Slide 9, I just wanted to drive home the point about Cisco's own internal deployments and part of the reasons why this phenomenon is happening. Rami will go into much more depth about this, but I put together a chart that shows the number of Cisco telepresence units on our network and the number of meetings that we've had month by month as a total. I redid this chart last week before this call, and unfortunately the number of meetings is starting to reach the top of the PowerPoint chart, so I guess I'll have to change the format. But you can see we've had almost 30,000 meetings total with 130 rooms. And the point here to make is that this is a nice reflection of Metcalfe's law, that the number of endpoints, as it increases, the number of interactions you can have essentially increases exponentially, and we really are seeing that. The nice thing you'll see about the month of August is that a few Cisco people actually took a little vacation, which is the dip there. One of the things that Rami will get into is the type of applications that Cisco employees are using telepresence for. And one of the things our general manager often says is that telepresence is starting to be used for core business processes for our customers. So for use in selling, for use in staying close to customers or gaining greater customer intimacy, and for doing planning and making decisions. Slide 10, this lists some of our customers who've allowed us to use their names publicly. There are quite a number above and beyond that, of course, but these are the ones that were kind enough to lend us their logos. You can see on the left those themes that I described a little earlier, and what I'd like to do is just give you a couple samples of how some of these companies are seeing these business transformations take place. So maybe the first one I'll start with is SAP, and SAP is representative of a number of high-tech companies that we see in a similar situation where they've got engineering teams distributed across the world. Many of whom speak different languages, have different business cultures, and the very clear reason that SAP and these other high-tech companies that we've been working with are using telepresence for is essentially to allow engineering teams to see each other face-to-face in order to solve engineering challenges with the ultimate goal of getting products out to market faster. And that's a nice one because these companies can actually count what it's worth to them to get these products out faster. And they also find that once telepresence is installed for that particular location, there's other applications that users will find as well. Wachovia is another one that has found significant benefit in doing things faster and speeding time to market. They've got some major offices on the East Coast in the Southeast, and moving people back and forth was really not working very well for them because it was disruptive to the business and it was disruptive to the employees. And by installing telepresence, what they found is that they were gaining a much greater competitive advantage, partly because the time to get together had been reduced so much because they could do it much more quickly. The side benefit they found was that their employees were happier, and happier employees tend to be more productive employees because they're not traveling as much. Under cross-cultural collaboration, I mentioned some of the engineering examples, but we have a large company that's based on the East Coast that has a big operation in Japan, and they had an unusual, or maybe not so unusual, case where executives on the East Coast and executives in Japan really had two choices before telepresence. The first choice was to fly to see each other face-to-face, which can be disruptive, both for the people who have to travel and the people back home who need decisions from the people who are traveling. The other option is to talk on the phone, but with business cultures that are as different as the U.S. and Japan and with a pretty significant language barrier, the company was using live translation, which on the phone can be a little challenging as well. When they heard about telepresence, they basically said, this is a no-brainer. This will allow us to meet face-to-face and not have the disruptive issues we've had with travel, and it will also allow us to overcome the issues that we've had on the phone, and it's a very cost-effective way of doing that. The system was purchased for the purpose of these executives getting together initially, and that was considered enough of an ROI to build that out. But what happened was, since the executive team meets, you know, typically met only once a month, now with telepresence they're meeting more often, maybe once a week, while that unit is open and available, other teams in the company are now realizing that projects that they felt were going to be taking a long time because of this cross-continental communications challenge, that now those projects have jumped off faster, and they think that they've got much more aggressive delivery dates than they'd originally anticipated, so it had a trickle-down effect. I'll give you one other example from Media Saturn, which is a really interesting one around scaling scarce expertise. Media Saturn is a large electronics sort of superstore company in Europe, part of Metro AG. And they've been, they're a very popular brand in places like Germany and starting to expand into Eastern Europe. And expanding into Eastern Europe is challenging because you need a lot of logistical coordination. You need people locally who know the zoning laws and business laws. You need the architects back at headquarters who are helping with the building design. You need the ops people. You need the facilities people. You need marketing and so on to all coordinate in order to get new stores open. And the challenge with that, of course, is getting them all together when they're working on multiple sites can be challenging. So what Media Saturn did was roll out telepresence in order to essentially scale those scarce experts so they could meet much more rapidly as they expand into Eastern Europe. And Media Saturn actually can count dollars per day. Every time they can get a store opened a day early, they know exactly how much it costs. And so for them, they view it as a real true competitive advantage, time-to-market advantage. Maybe just one more. Telia Sonera, which is the Finnish-Swedish telco, has a big office in Helsinki and a big office in Stockholm. This is a result of the merger a few years ago. They typically fly people back and forth, which is fine because they're pretty close. but what they found is, of course, there's a travel cost and a productivity cost and, frankly, a green cost. And so Telia Sonera has actually calculated all three of those with their deployment around telepresence in order to help them better understand what the ROI is. The slide that builds on top of that, going from some of the business transformation themes we see to some of the essentially the reasons why we believe that telepresence from Cisco makes sense. Some of the things listed here, the fact that we've got a global network of service and support and offer multi-point capabilities, that we provide what we believe is a superior in-person experience. It's extremely easy to use. I didn't really talk about that much, but the fact that we've got one button to push and integration with calendaring programs in order to make using the facilities and using the room very straightforward. And I'm sure Rami will mention that in the Cisco rollout. Also, scale of deployment, being able to rapidly install units with customers and scale that at a global level. And ultimately, building a platform upon which companies can do not only intra-communications, but inter-telepresence communications, and then, of course, TPO. And I think with that, I will hand it over to Rami to jump into the Cisco.
Thank you, Erica. In the next 20 minutes, I would like to share with you how we started the Cisco telepresence and also share with you the value case that we developed with our Internet Business Solution Group, where we are today, because we measure this pretty closely on a weekly basis, the utilization and the usability of the Cisco telepresence. Before we started working on the telepresence, we did assess a couple of things, such as travel analysis, and we've identified top 50 pair cities in the world that our employees and our executives travel to and from. This analysis helped us prioritize the sites that we wanted to deploy telepresence to. Also, we assessed a couple of areas that telepresence will help transform our business into a new model with a focus on improving efficiency, productivity, reducing the sales cycle by bringing our customers, our sales team, and the subject matter experts virtually and quickly, regardless of their location. After we completed our analysis, we identified all dependencies and owners of these dependencies so we can hold everybody accountable and responsible for these deliverables so we can get the benefit quickly back to Cisco. We've also established cross-functional team from IT, Emerging Technology Business Unit, our Workplace Resources, which is also known as the Facility Organization, and our Customer Advocacy Organization, so they can help us with the planning and implementation, plus get familiar with exactly what needs to be done, capturing the lesson learned and creating the leading practices so we can really help our customers and partners with fast and successful implementations as well, so our customers can transform their business into the next level. We also completed the LAN and the WAN assessments for the sites that we wanted to put telepresence, established quality of service policy, and upgraded the switches and circuits for some of our sites, and we also prioritized the deployment of our sites based on where the majority of the subject matter experts are located, sites that are more ready than others, and also the locations of our executive and the customer briefing centers. And we also targeted to deploy 110 Cisco telepresence in FY07. One thing that got us so excited about telepresence is its ease of use, and this is the first time in my past 20 years experience in IT deploying large implementation that required no training to our end users. Now, let me talk about the new business model and how telepresence will deliver very strategic value. Cisco's telepresence deployment will require an investment in both hardware, facility readiness, and infrastructure upgrade, along with network bandwidth and ongoing maintenance. The five value drivers that I'm about to highlight have great potential of delivering significant financial benefits to Cisco and will quickly recover the cost of Cisco's telepresence implementation and transform our business into a new business model. First, let me highlight the increased sales closure rate. By using telepresence to increase customers' exposure to subject matter experts and sales leaders via virtual briefing and virtual follow-up meetings, the Cisco team sales team can improve its sales closure rate from our briefing center by 2%, an incremental of $127 million gross margin contribution. Second, reduced sales cycle, which really helped increase the availability and reach of subject matter experts, and business decision maker will shorten the day's sales cycle by 2%, resulting in a potential of $68 million incremental gross margin contribution. Third, on the travel saving, Cisco's investment in telepresence will be mostly recovered by travel cost reduction alone. Based on our initial assessment, telepresence savings are expected to reach $61 million over 3 years, assuming a conservative travel substitution of 5.5% of meeting participants avoided travel. Next, on the productivity gains, from a travel-related productivity gains are expected to reach $42 million, assuming 4 hours saved with every trip avoided. Productivity savings are based on the fully loaded cost of each employee type. Across Cisco, the Cisco telepresence usage is expected to be 25% demonstrate Cisco products over telepresence, 5% avoid travel, 10% improve employee interactions, 10% improve employee productivity, 5% share employee knowledge, 5% expose Cisco leaders to customers, 5% address customer issues virtually, 5% expose customers to our subject matter experts quickly and virtually, 3% accelerate products to market, 2% business continuity, and then 25% for general internal needs. Now, let me share with you where we are with both our internal deployments and some of the things that we're working on. Since September of last year, we have deployed 132 telepresence globally in every major city in the world. As of September 30, 2007, we have deployed 92 in the U.S. and Canada, 19 in Asia-Pac and Japan, 19 in Europe, and 2 in emerging countries such as Dubai and Poland. Based on the value case that we have developed, and in order for us to reach our goals that I shared with you earlier, we targeted to have about 40% utilization on a weekly basis. As of today, we are exceeding the utilization, and some sites are exceeding 100% utilization based on 10 hours a day. Our total number of meetings that have been conducted over telepresence have exceeded 28,813 meetings, and our weekly average is reaching over 750 meetings on a weekly basis. Over 5,880 meetings are conducted with our customers virtually. We track the deal ID to ensure that we are reducing the sales cycle and improving the closure rate. In regard to travel, we have seen over 5,990 meetings that are conducted virtually instead of getting people on the plane. As a result of this, we have saved 7.1 million cubic meters of emission, which is equivalent of 3,018 cars off the road. In the next chart, let me illustrate a few points here. We've noticed that more telepresence deployment we do, the faster we improve our productivity and efficiency, and the more meetings are getting conducted virtually. The first 4 months, we were averaging close to 110 meetings a week. And then when we reached 110 telepresence implementations, we started averaging 750 meetings on a weekly basis. Something to keep in mind also in here that we have deployed over 30 telepresence in the past 90 days. Normally, the first few weeks we see slow adoption, then it kicks off pretty quickly. Some of you might be wondering about the things that we had to do on our network to support this. When we did the initial assessment, we pretty much identified the networking gear and the bandwidth that we need to increase in order to support this initiative. Some of our sites did not require any upgrade, and some had to be upgraded, mostly because of the previous configurations that we had on our old switches that are roughly 4 to 5 years old, and some sites had bundled T1 and E1, which we ended up by upgrading the bandwidth to either DS3 or E3 or sometimes OC3, depending on how many telepresence we're implementing at that site. In the next chart, it shows the telepresence usability by function, which was in line with our value case assessment. From the ROI slide, it shows that reducing sales cycle and improving closure rate by sales. In this slide, you will see that quite a bit of people who are using telepresence are from sales. Also, we've noticed great improvement in communications and collaborations from engineering to operations, finance, IT, customer advocacy, manufacturing, legal, and marketing. Recently, I've been overwhelmed with the high demand from our cross-functional organizations about deploying more telepresence units across Cisco globally. Now, let me share with you the benefits that telepresence brought to Cisco. Based on the 28,800 meetings that have been conducted over telepresence, we've noticed that 23% of these meetings were conducted virtually to demonstrate Cisco product to our customers and partners, 25% avoided travel, 17% improved employee interactions, 10% increased employee productivity, 6% share employee knowledge, 4% expose our customers and partners to our Cisco leaders globally, 6% address customers' questions and issues, 5% expose our subject matter experts to our customers and partners quickly and virtually, 2% accelerate products to market, and 2% for business continuity where people conducted their meeting virtually. And lastly, let me share with you the usability by theater. 61% of our telepresence usage are from the U.S., 18% from Europe, 16% from Asia-Pac, and 5% from Japan, and slightly less than 1% from emerging. This is low since we just recently deployed telepresence to Dubai and Doha and Poland. With that, I would like to turn this one over back to Amy.
Great. Thank you very much, Erica and Rami, for the very informative presentation. Lisa, at this time, I would like you to pull the audience for any questions.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star 1 to begin. And our first question comes from the line of Alan Salkin of Tech Consult Group. Please proceed, sir.
Yes, this is a question for Rami. Do you have plans to install any telepresence at some of your largest customers or distributors, such as like AT&T? I'm assuming most of your current installations are internal for your evaluation, but what about for supply chain management, the relationship?
Alan, thanks for your question. Most of the deployment that I talked about are really related to internal deployments. Maybe, Erica, you want to really give some...
So we've articulated the strategy of being able to do what we've colloquially called business-to-business. So that would mean, you know, in your example, AT&T would be installing, or actually has installed telepresence, and then having the functionality to be able to cross between the AT&T Enterprise Network and Cisco's Enterprise Network. And so it's definitely something that Cisco has articulated that we intend to do. But right now we don't have any existing customers that we could talk about like that with you.
Okay, because my focus was more that Cisco itself would, say, pay for the installation for some of their largest customers, rather than, say, AT&T. Pay for it, or maybe another customer that doesn't have a telepresence.
Well, actually, I will say the model you're describing is one that we have had reflected back to us as something that large companies with complex supply chains are very interested in. So you could see how, you know, a large chain store is very interested in staying close to its suppliers, and so the notion of it being more worthwhile to pay for a unit on, you know, another customer premise that can talk back to the original company's network and telepresence units would make a great deal of sense. We have other folks who've talked about, you know, having telepresence units installed on their network to talk to their advertising agencies or things like that. And so I expect that you will start to see people doing things like that in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, and also, are there plans for a one-seat endpoint?
Well, to be honest, actually, we use the 1,000 as a one-seat often. I do my one-on-one with my boss who works in Irvine. I do the one-seat, the one-on-one using telepresence. But if your question is a modified version of the 1,000 or more of like a desktop unit, you know, what we've said publicly is that we introduced the two endpoints, but we expect to scale scale the list of offerings for endpoints, you know, to accommodate larger crowds and to go down to the personal level.
And Alan, this is Rami. Regarding this particular question, we've actually implemented I would say about 25% of the Cisco telepresence internally as a single screen, mostly to our executives, so they can really communicate and collaborate with their global team directly from their office.
Yeah, so we've made no small news out of Wim Elfrink, the head of our CA organization. He's now based in Bangalore. He's got a 1,000 unit in his house, I believe.
Right.
Because he's doing conversations with San Jose at funny hours of the morning, so it's more convenient for him to do it in his pajamas, I guess.
And he puts his jacket from the top. He keeps his pajamas on the bottom.
Right.
But
right.
So just to verify, John Chambers, does he have a unit in his home, or he has to actually go into the office in the morning?
Actually, we are in the process of putting one in his home shortly. He will be getting one in his house, and pretty much he doesn't need to come back to the office early or come back to the office late to be able to conduct his meeting virtually.
I'll rent out his cubicle. Thank you.
No problem.
And your next question comes from the line of David Maloney of Ovum. Please proceed, sir.
Thank you very much. We're seeing more launches of high-def video systems as telepresence, small p. But, you know, a lower price and a claimed equal performance, but in a, you know, in a much, much reduced bundle, not with all the facilities preparation, all that managed element, much more of a DIY proposition, I guess, but which is nevertheless claiming to and looks increasingly like it can do what telepresence is doing, but at a much lower price performance level. How do you plan to counter that sort of competition, if at all?
Yeah. So you know, a couple thoughts, and I bet Rami can tell you about from an internal standpoint how we use video conferencing at Cisco. But a couple thoughts from customers that I speak with. You know, we talk about how do you feel about video conferencing versus telepresence, and I do get a lot of reflected comments about the difficulty of use, so the difficult interface, which is a major barrier towards adoption. And, you know, of course, there are people who use video conferencing every day and find it quite satisfactory, but I think one of the differences between video conferencing and telepresence, as Cisco's articulated it, is in the ease of use. Another area is in that creating that in-person experience. There are, hands down, a number of environmental factors that allow people to really feel like they are around the same table with telepresence that you don't get with video conferencing. So, you know, I think your question specifically about HD is a good one because it points out something that I think will become a more nuanced conversation in the months ahead, that just having HD resolution isn't the whole thing. While that certainly does help, and it helps you, you know, really see the person across the table in that remote meeting, if there are other issues at work, you know, those could be network issues, those could be environmental issues, it still can be less than satisfactory. And so, you know, even when you're talking about an internal deployment, those things can add up to cause people slow down when they're trying to make decisions quickly or feel like it's not an approximation for an in-person meeting. Maybe, you know, they would rather just spend the money to be face-to-face at that point. But you know, kind of the other thing is that people start to think about external applications of telepresence or video conferencing. And if you're talking about a remote, essentially, endpoint of your brand somewhere else, that you want to make sure that that is the highest quality experience possible. And so it's unlikely that people would find HD video conferencing to be suitable for those types of applications, whereas telepresence, you know, we're using it here at Cisco for things like remote lobby ambassadors and things like that. And you know, it's basically as if the person is sitting there in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Let me add, this is Rami David, let me add a few things to that. When I was asked to lead this job here at Cisco, one of the things that we did early on is we did the assessment on the video conferencing implementation, and I'll tell you, my experience has been in the past 15 years that everybody really talked in the past about using video conferencing, and everybody really jumped on that thinking that they can really invest heavily in there and they'll be able to really reduce their travel costs and improve productivity. And I'll tell you, I think, if I'm not mistaken here, that everybody was dead wrong. A lot of people really end up by spending a lot of money, and then their travel costs went up, and their productivity went down. So this is something we said we absolutely are going to avoid from making the same mistake that has taken place in the past 15 years. So a very key thing for us that Erica mentioned here is the ease of use. The other thing is the Cisco Telepresence solution is very well integrated with several other applications, such as the Outlook calendaring, such as the Cisco Call Manager, because with those two things, you know, it's all about the experience. It's all about making sure that you end up by deploying technology that is not going to really require to invest heavily in training, is because, as you all know, you know, technology implementation, you know, sometimes takes about 12 to 18 months, and then by the time you're done, there's a new technology. You're basically, you know, doing on a yearly basis a new implementation, and if you have to really go back and train people and it takes you 6 months to do this, you will be missing the boat on this one. And as I mentioned earlier, is we provided absolutely zero training on telepresence, and that's really the beauty of the Cisco Telepresence solution. It's well integrated with so many things. And the most beautiful thing about it is very, very easy to use. You go to Outlook, you schedule the conference rooms just like the way you schedule any other conference room, and then by the time you go to the room, everything is ready for you. You push the button, and you really feel that you are in a virtual meeting without really needing to really gain a lot of training from that experience.
Next question. And
Ms. Poon?
Yes.
Hi, there are no further questions in queue at this time.
Okay, great. Well, I actually would like to bring up one question received in advance. Here it is. What is the interest level of customers in Asia Pacific in purchasing telepresence solutions? And also, is there any challenge or barrier in promoting the solution to Asia Pacific given that the region has a higher price sensitivity level in the region?
Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing demand from all verticals across all theaters, but I will say the initial deployment models we've seen are with large organizations which have a headquarters based wherever, maybe in the U.S., maybe in Europe, maybe in Asia, looking to then connect their remote sites. So we often see, actually, that maybe a U.S. company with operations in Singapore, Bangalore, China, actually will install a unit in headquarters, but most of the units are actually being deployed somewhere else in order to get all the benefits that we talked about before. And so while, you know, I think that's the initial model we're seeing today, for a variety of reasons, I expect that we will start to see the opposite as well. I was just listening to a story the other week about companies in China that are building manufacturing plants in the U.S., and you know, you could see very clearly that a model in that sense where you've got remote operations and headquarters is in Asia, where telepresence would be a completely suitable way of making sure that that remote facility stays in close contact and close alignment with headquarters.
Lisa, can you please poll the audience once more for any questions, please?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, it's star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And we do have a question from the line of Victor Cassiano of Frost & Sullivan. Please proceed, sir.
Hi, Erica and Rami. This is Victor Cassiano from Mexico City. I was wondering, I'm looking at the slide number 20, and, well, we have a sort of a breakdown of the utilization of telepresence, and I see emerging countries are, well, obviously a smaller slice of the pie, but I was wondering anyways, do you have any specific strategy or any particular plans for Latin America? And I'm asking this mainly because here in Latin America, culturally, personal meetings or the actual presence of the counterparts is very huge. It's very important. So I was wondering if that, you think that has restrained the penetration of telepresence, or how do you think it's going to evolve over the next months or a couple of years?
Thank you, Victor, for that question. So related to the emerging countries, initially when we did the assessment, one of the things that we realized, the biggest barrier that we had in those emerging countries is the bandwidth cost.
Right.
Majority of our sites really have, in those countries, bundle T1, which is equivalent to either, you know, 4 to 6 meg. And when we really did the assessment, we went back and we talked to many of the service providers to really help us, you know, change that and making sure that we increase the bandwidth, because we definitely really see a huge opportunity in emerging countries. And as a result of these analysis that we've done, we plan to deploy additional 6 to 8. As a matter of fact, Mexico is on our radar, and, you know, we plan to really deploy telepresence in our Mexico office shortly. And, you know, some of the opportunities that we also see is the communication and collaborations among the emerging countries, such as Mexico and Spain, as part of the analysis that we did. And we definitely, you know, we've already implemented one in Spain, and then, as I mentioned, in the emerging countries, there are about 6 to 8 that we plan to deploy in the next 60 to 90 days. And also your other point about, you know, having people meeting face-to-face, If you haven't really had the chance to experience the Cisco telepresence, I urge you to really do that ASAP, because the moment you walk into the room and you end up by really sitting in front of somebody who could be located, let's say, in Japan, you would absolutely feel that you're sitting in Japan. You know, the only thing that might be really a barrier is the language, but, you know, I'm sure that, you know, you're going to experience that whether you really travel there in person or not. But when you really sit down in the telepresence room, you plug in your PC, and then everything is there for you. So you will be able to really get exactly the same experience that you really get, you know, from the face-to-face, if not better, I would say.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And your next question comes from the line of Leslie Rosenberg of IDC. Please proceed, Miss.
Good morning. Thank you very much. My question is a two-part question with regards to channels and alliances. When telepresence initially launched, there were approximately 24 either systems integrators or VAR partners deploying telepresence. How has that landscape grown over the past year, or how many partners currently are deploying telepresence?
You know, I'm afraid I don't actually have the answer to that. That's something we're going to have to follow up with you on.
Okay. And
the second part of your question.
I have a comment on this one. Is one of the things that we did, by the way, all our telepresence implementations were done by our advanced technology partners. I personally did not really hire resources to do the actual implementation, because we wanted our partners to really get up to speed on this ASAP, and at the same time to really fully learn exactly what we're doing so they can really do that successfully with our customers.
So they installed it at Cisco. You had partners install it for your
Yes,
Cisco.
We have quite a few partners that have actually done the installation globally in every single location.
Great.
As I mentioned, all our implementation has been installed by our partners.
Great. And the second part of my question actually dovetails to the gentleman who had the question prior with regard to your service provider ecosystem. And obviously, bandwidth is a very big part of this equation. And they, too, have their own channels, their master agent channels. How is Cisco helping with the training and education to your service provider partners and their extended sales forces to understand the requirements for telepresence?
So on the service provider side, we implemented a process that allows a service provider to become certified. I might get the acronym a little wrong, but it's something like Cisco Certified Telepresence Connection.
Right.
I think is the, okay. and that's actually a similar process to enable the service provider to be able to offer the proper connection in order to make sure that the network component of telepresence is appropriate.
And do you work with them, or do you collaborate with them for training for their channel? Because they're the ones that are, you know, ultimately touching the customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And how do you know how many of those partners you have, or how that training is going? And I guess this would be applicable to any of your emerging technologies, because they're pretty bandwidth intensive, like surveillance or your unit of video.
Yeah, actually, so on the specifics on the SP side, we'll have to follow up with you on that. But on the for some of our other technologies, so I run marketing for DMS, actually, that product is a little different in that it's an open channel partner product.
Okay.
Although we have a certain profile that we look for in channel partners to be able to sell DMS, but frankly, it's an open product that anybody can sell. It's a much simpler deployment and application than telepresence.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
And your next question comes from the line of Claire Schooley of Forrester Research. Please proceed, Miss.
Yes. Can you tell us what the cost is now for the 1,000 as well as for the 3,000? And also talk about what the cost is, whether it's on a monthly basis or how you do it for the managed service part.
Okay. So the list price for the 1,000 is $79,000 per unit. That's list price. The list price for the CTS 3000 is $299 per unit. And then I mentioned services a little bit at the beginning, but we have customers that are interested in purchasing the endpoints and maybe a few of the other items. You know, you need to do a room assessment and a network assessment as part of the telepresence installation. And then they're good to go. You know, they've got an existing management and monitoring system in place. We have other customers that are interested in receiving it as much more of a managed, full-blown managed service application where they get essentially a bill a month, and uh-huh. so and you know people all the way in between. And so depending on what their requirements are and what their existing set of managed service capabilities is, and given what the impact of telepresence is going to be in their environment, we do an assessment to see what is the right set of services that they would need and build that accordingly.
Do you have an idea of, in terms of the complete managed service, of about what that has averaged out to be per month?
Boy, that's something I'd have to go back and take an average on. Uh-huh. So we'll make a note to get back to you on that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of Hamish McKenzie of IDC. Please proceed, sir.
Hello there. Yeah, actually the last question was part of my question about cost, so that's already answered that. Thank you. The other part was I was wondering which bit of this whole kind of solution is best for Cisco in terms of profitability. I know that I read one article which claimed that, or suggested that perhaps the actual selling of the units wasn't really making you any money. In fact, you might actually be losing money on it. But in order to make money with really the managed service aspects and upgrading people's networks and stuff like that, would you spend on that?
Yeah, sure. Well, as I said at the beginning, telepresence is one of Cisco's emerging technologies, and so the intent is that the telepresence business unit has the potential to be a $1 billion business on its own in the next 5 to 7 years. And I think given the momentum we've had in the market, that we feel very comfortable continuing to say that statement about telepresence as an ET. There's definitely no way that we would treat it any other way than a viable business unit. But I think your comment about, what is the impact on corporate networks and the need to upgrade the networking infrastructure is a really interesting one. In fact, Robbie and I were just talking about this yesterday, about Cisco's own experience with telepresence as we did a rollout. Ultimately we did have to make some upgrades, but in fact we installed quite a number, it sounds like, before we needed to do any network upgrades. I don't know if you want to comment further on that.
Yeah, I believe the gentleman's name is Hamish, right? Hamish, so one of the things that we did, as of today we deployed 132 and we plan to deploy additional 60 to 80 this year. We've averaged approximately 54 sites that we had to do a network upgrade. And the network upgrade that we had to do, related to bandwidth, as I mentioned earlier, some of them because they had, bundled T1 into that particular site. Some of them, we put in equipment, networking gear 4 or 5 years ago, and we figured it's time to do this. And we upgraded the network gear as well. As a result, and I'll tell you, this is something that I personally start experiencing from a more reliability, because telepresence is definitely bandwidth sensitive and also sensitive to packets that have been dropped as well. And because of all the things that we have really done on our network, our stability has really come way much better than ever in the past. So we're really gaining a huge benefit, not just by implementing telepresence, but also having much more stability on everything else that's running on our network.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
And then by the way, we almost paid for all the investment that we paid only from the travel numbers that I shared with you earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So our return on investment is actually coming a lot faster than what we anticipated.
Great. Thank you very much. So we're at the hour, and at this time, I would like to thank our presenters for a very informative presentation. Erica and Remy, thank you very much.
Sure.
And before we close up the call, I just wanted to see if there were any closing comments that you might want to share with our audience. So
at the time.
No, I think we had a good conversation, and look forward to doing it again in the future.
Right.
Likewise, then, if anybody has any some specific questions, feel free to send them my way.
Yep.
Great. Excuse me. And again, to our analyst audience, I want to thank all of you for joining our call today. And also, if you have any additional follow-up questions, please contact Ron Davis, and his email address is ronadavi@cisco.com. At this time, operator, would you please close the call?
Thank you. Thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect. Have a wonderful day.